Ambush Radio.
As you know, I've been going after my former landlord.
Yes.
For several months now.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, an odd position for me because I've been in situations before where landlords have, you know, kind of made things difficult by...
You're usually the chasee, not the chaser.
Well, no, like, I've had some places where I've had to leave just because, like, the building was falling down or
the roommates moved out.
The owner ran out of money and, you know, was trying to get rid of the place or the bank was taking it back or things like that or roommates and all that kind of stuff. But most times, yes, I've been leaving like a thief in the night. Packing up a truck and running like crazy and not giving a forwarding address. And most times, completely giving up my security deposit. You know, either I was already into them for 3 months' rent anyway, so them having 1 month's rent, I was still ahead.
I was thinking about that today on my walk home because I just paid my 11th month of rent, so next month will give me a year straight of clean rental history when I renew. And that'll be the first time that's happened in a while. No late fees, no bounce checks, no nothing, just clean.
Nice.
It's almost a good feeling.
So I've been annoyed by this because in this case I was doing everything right and was paying on time and was being a good tenant to the landlord, and I thought everything was going just okie dokie, but it appears now, and it's still best guess because we don't know the actual truth, but it appears that my former landlord was needing to either get back into the house or make some money or get out of his house that he was living in currently, and so he did, after I left, move into the rental property that I was in. And but with all the stories of the fact that he sold it and he was doing this and he was doing that and he was fine with money and everything else, but it just doesn't come off that way now. Including, you know, a polite little conversation with him after more than a month that I was gone, and I kept getting phone calls from him saying, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna pay you in a week. I'm gonna pay you in 2 weeks. Hey, I'm gonna pay you at the end of this month," and things like that is what he was saying. Actually, like when I went to talk to him, it was a month after I left, but he had just called me to say, "I'll pay you in a month." So that would have been 2 months after I had left.
That's ironic.
Well, and in most like default rental laws, they have the full 30 days after you vacate the premises to decide what to do with the refund and to take out whatever they need and let you know what they paid for and then return the remainder, if any. But in his lease, in his own words, he hand wrote in, within 10 days of vacancy, you'll have a written statement of why we're keeping the monies and whatever remainder there is in a check. So he wrote that in himself and signed it and everything. So it was a little bit silly that we had gone on a month and then he was talking about a full 2 months before payment since he wrote that in himself. So when I went to him in person and had the tape recorder in my pocket, as usual... Just in case
you learned that trick from.
Just in case there was anything in the conversation that I needed. He basically went blathering on and on about how the place smelled like a dog, though he knew we had a dog. He owns a dog himself, so there was a dog living there at the time I was speaking to him. But it smells like dog, and I never mowed the lawn enough, and the place was just a mess. It was a mess. It was horrible. A mess. That's all he says.
Did you take pictures?
Yes. Pictures.
There you go.
Of clean house with no damage to the walls or the floors or anything else.
If they allow pets, you know, smell comes with pets, which is why you pay usually an additional fee.
Right. Well, and that was what was weird. It was just that he wanted to clean the carpets and that I didn't, he kept saying that I didn't mow the lawn, and that's why he was keeping money. Because
that's got nothing to do with the interior.
And it was untrue.
That's a quick fix. You know, yeah. You get out there with a lawnmower,
and
there you go.
And it was untrue. I did mow the lawn. Otherwise, it would have been like a hay field by the time he had got there. My grandfather even mowed the lawn because he lived about two blocks down. And he saw the lawn was high and stopped by and mowed it himself. So
nice.
It was mowed. So he basically kept using language that was, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I'm not going to pay you. What do you want to do? You know, type of thing. Waiting for me to use the legal terms and the court terms and things like that so that he could immediately say, oh, that's it. Hands off. You said court. We'll have to go to court now. Hmm. So I would never say court and he wouldn't say court. But he was basically like, oh, you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do. Whatever you're going to do, do it. You know, like that's all he kept saying. So in the end, several weeks went by and so I filed my paperwork and he got his copy of it and I said, so what would you like to do? Would you like to pay it or do you want to go to small claims court? And he says, oh, you take us to small. I'll bring a lawyer. And he did. He brought a lawyer to small claims court. I mean, which has to be more expensive if he's paying the guy, unless it was like his brother-in-law or something. If he's paying the guy anything, it's more expensive than the $700 we were arguing about.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I stand there and I argue my case, and then the lawyer turns and he gets to ask me a bunch of questions to which I keep catching him every time, and he never really gets the point across that he wants, and the judge just keeps putting up an eyebrow every time to him, like, this guy's a moron. And then we wait three more weeks for the judge to make a decision, and he decides in my behalf that says in the contract we signed, he will return it within 10 days. And since that was the agreement and that he didn't really show the court case came down to, he didn't countersue at the time for his damages. So basically he wasn't even there. He wasn't even allowed to argue, though he did, you know, but the judge wasn't going to take any of it into account. He was like, since you're not countersuing for anything, I don't need to hear your case. You don't get anything. You just, whether you should have paid this guy before 10 days or not, and you should have, but you didn't. So therefore, you owe him, you know, you owe him the money plus the court fee of $10 to file. So I win, I get a judgment. So then I write him a week or so after that judgment shows up, and I say by email, you know, so now we have a judgment. What would you like to do? And they say, the husband and wife say, you know, we're appealing this. We don't think we should have to pay for your damages. But the only way to appeal small claims is to send it right back to the same exact judge. And unless you're giving him, like, new evidence, he's not even going to consider it. It's like, we want to appeal. Okay, I'll look at it again. No, you lose again. You know, like, there's nothing new that they're going to add on, so there's nothing that the guy can consider. So when I made my little holiday trip to New York this week, I also stopped by the county offices and filed the judgment with the county so that it was on record there, and then took an execution against property over to the sheriff's department. And
nice.
To which I had even explained to the landlord previously before we go into court that once I have a judgment, I'm going to the sheriff's department to get it, to get it enforced. And he wrote back, evidently not knowing about this type of thing, oh, well, the sheriffs don't do that anyways. He's never heard of a sheriff's sale, apparently. You know, they go to people's door all the time and bang, 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 give me the TV, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's basically the repo man. So I went there and filed the paperwork to basically lien on his bank account. And that just means if the money's in his bank, they take it out and send it to me.
Ambush Radio.
So I just received a phone call from the sheriff's department, and one of the investigators was looking through the paperwork, and he wanted to inform me that there are now new laws in New York State regarding garnishing bank accounts or execution against bank accounts.
Should be able to pull 15% of the gross.
Well, here's the silly thing. I mean, like, garnishing a paycheck, you can only take, like, 10% of...
It's 15.
No, he told me right out just now, unless it's changed. 10% of the gross, and it has to be over... but the net amount has to be over a certain amount of kind of poverty level type of thing anyway. So if it's too low, then boom, you can't have any of it anyway. You know, even if it's a dollar. And I know that the husband is not working at the time. He's working for himself, so there's nothing to garnish there. And then the wife is working with another company, but I'm not totally sure. I think she's, like, independent as well. She's just kind of like a representative of them and stuff, so I'm not sure that there's any particular company to garnish there either. So I just figured I'd go against the bank accounts, and we would just cross our fingers that there was $700 in there. You know, maybe if you catch it on the, you know, on the day
on
that they're, they're about to get paid or something like that, you know, it's liable to get it. And it locks up your bank account anyway. So if they only have, like, you know, $100 in there, it locks the bank account until they put more money in, which if they don't, which they'd be smart if they, if they didn't want to give up the money, they wouldn't put any money in, but then they would be locked out from using that bank account. So it starts to become a real hindrance to go to the banks and hope that I'm not just going to attach the next bank, you know, whenever you go in and open up a new account anyway. I'm just going to go on to the next one and the next one. Well, so the investigator informs me that the rules have changed, and of course these rules keep changing now more in favor of those holding out for money, you know. And that's normally me on the other end of people trying to come after my money, and I don't have any. But so, you know, to some extent, oh, woohoo for me, but darn for me, you know. Yeah. So now the first $2,500 in a bank account is not up for grabs. So the first 25 is exempt. That can't be touched. So over $2,500, any monies that have only been in the bank less than 60 days are exempt. So you can't just hit them on a paycheck and grab that money. The money's got to be in there longer than 60 days and over, you know, it's got to be the 25 over type of thing. So he's got 3,000 in the bank. Boom, I get five, you know, type of thing. If it's been there longer than 60 days, and you only can take 90% of it too. So it's not quite
You're
five.
Never getting paid.
And in fact, I had to pay the sheriffs another $80 even to file this paperwork and go after the 700. So that's what he was basically laying down to me, like, and I think partially too, it's like, hey, we don't want to do anything around here, so like, it's really hard. You might as well just, you know, call it quits. But basically, he said, "What do you want to do about this?" And I guess I've decided now that I'll go ahead and withdraw that because they're willing to refund it still, so I won't have spent any more towards it. But since all the judgments and everything else are on file, you know, I think it goes back to what lawyers classically do is write a nasty letter. You know, okay, it's all on file. All I have to do is say go, and the sheriff will go get it out of your bank account. Which, you know, again, like, yeah, I've gone without the money now several months, so you begin to, like, need it less and less, really. Mm-hmm. And now it just becomes the principle of it or the messing with them.
$700 is still a nice chunk of change.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, I still haven't done my claim against eBay for $72 because it's $72 and I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is spend 5 minutes writing an email, but it's not, you know, it's not $700, so it isn't a priority.
Sure. But also,
I have like a month to do it, but $700, that's your new computer, that's, you know, bills.
Well, I realize that, but also the likelihood of it ever turning up is so remote that, you know, the effort you put into it is sometimes not even worth it either. But again, if I go back to writing the nasty letter and say, oh, look, you know, sheriff can just come get it. So here's the thing is, even if he doesn't go, okay, fine, here's the money, you know what I mean? Which would be the great thing is if it didn't cost me a cent and he just sends it to me because I scare him. The other route will be that he freaks out and goes and closes his bank accounts and therefore messes himself up because now he can't run any bank accounts. And, and you know, like I don't get my money, but at least he's terrorized and that makes me happy too.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be on the other side?
I know. I guess there's no point in trying to be good to a landlord. Basically, what I'm saying to people is screw your landlord at any chance you get.
Screw you, screw them before they screw you.
Yeah, basically.
Down in the mouth and having trouble remembering. Hold my heart out loud.
You have to admit that our former landlord was a smart guy.
Did nothing.
When we said,
he knew it wasn't.
Yeah, when we said, hey, we're broke people and we're leaving, he just said, great, don't burn the place to the ground, please. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was basically all he looked for.
I will sue you. He said, I'll sue you. Sure. And then he looked at me and he's like, where are you going? I was like, Houston. He's like, where? And I was like, don't know yet. It's not like I would have told him, you know?
Right.
His withholding a few months' rent from him helped me, move.
Right.
And he sold that house before the economic crisis hit, so to speak. So the way I see it, we did that man a favor.
He did? No, he didn't. It didn't sell until
he put
just
a month or so ago. He put it up for sale Well, it takes a long time to buy a house. I know because I almost bought one, and it was a lengthy process, a couple months. And we had $13,000 to put down.
My parents sold their house in 24 hours.
This is a house in Westcott. Area True. Of Syracuse.
True.
I can't
yes,
believe they sold it
at but if you live
all.
There, they'll give you economic money. They'll pay your mortgage to live there just so people live in the ghetto.
I just think, had we completed that lease, that house would be for sale now, and he would not have sold it. I do think, in a way, it helped him to get it on the market and get people looking at it before then, to get it cleaned up, you know, and all that stuff. I think if he got $125,000 out of that house... Which, I mean, if that house was anywhere else, it was worth more than that. But in Syracuse and central New York, that house is not worth $125,000.
Right.
So if he got anywhere near that, he got lucky.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not, you know, I mean, and our lease would have been up by now, I believe.
Yes.
Had to have been. It was a 2-year lease, so it would have expired like last, what, May?
Right.
So it would have expired a couple months ago in May.
Right, so he would have had...
We were pretty close.
He would have had another
$12,000
in his pocket going into selling
the
house.
We lived there for a year and a half. Yeah. It was a 2-year lease.
Oh, right.
He would have got maybe 6 months of rent out of us.
Right.
And by out of us, I mean out of me, and then maybe you, and then maybe exit.
Well, and that was the weird part, is because we... Because
no
he allowed...
one knew how much anyone owed anyone.
Because he allowed, now, I've had a former landlord that knew I was going in with roommates, but she expressly said right up front, I only want to receive one check. So you guys work it out about
that's
who
where he
is getting
the
all the money.
Of
yeah. So we did
taking
the
PayPal from
the divided
I paid
PayPal.
My rent. I paid my rent on time every month until I decided I was going to leave that house.
Well, right.
No one was speaking together anymore.
Well, you spoke long enough to exit to know he wasn't paying rent.
Yeah, and then I assumed you weren't, and that's when I the only thing he did not get out of me were the last 2 months' rent. That's when I realized, I was like, if they're not paying rent, fuck those guys. And I told Mac the same thing. I was like, if we withhold 2 months, worst case scenario, he's going to kick us out. But we're each going to have $500 to help moving money. That's a rental truck right there. And screw these guys, because we'll be halfway to Texas.
Right.
And that was my exact thinking.
Whereas I paid my portion of rent and the internet bill all the way to the end.
I paid exit for some of utilities. And then I remember asking him if I owed any more. And he's like, don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
That was such a rough situation where it was a cut and run from everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't just like us against the landlord. It was like every man for
us
himself.
Against. I think we were all against each other and then the landlord. But yeah, it was every man. It was survival of the fittest. So now it's been long enough and I bounced back, so I don't care. But at the time, it sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Teaches you a lesson. That's why, you know, 11 months straight of clean rental history, because I only have myself to look out for or worry for. Mm-hmm. Whether rent's paid or not is entirely mine, you know. And then I always prioritize bills. I'm not going to pay, for instance, for internet if I don't have electricity. I'm not going to pay electricity if I don't have a home for it and stuff like that. So it's always rent, then electric, then internet, then cable, stuff like that. And I'm responsible for it.
I always
so if
find
I want
that too.
These goods and services, I pay them.
See, it's what comes up weird though is that when you look at the size of the bills, like it's like I don't have rent, but I do have the electric bill. You know what I mean?
What
like,
good is that? If,
so
yeah.
Maybe I'll pay the electric, and then they'll just have to wait on the rent. I'll just have
See,
to push
I won't,
them off.
I will. Come up with somehow. There were a few times I took out 2 payday loans at exorbitant interest rates just to help pay bills when I first came here, just to, you know, smooth things over.
That,
but now it's
that
easy.
Apartment,
now that I pay my bills on time, it's easy.
Now, did you have to leave that one in post haste?
No, not. Well, the other one I was, because I seriously was thinking about this all today, because. This is my second to last rent payment before I either have to move or sign a new lease.
Mm-hmm.
And there are problems I can bring to their attention, which they already know about. Management isn't great. Like I said, I've paid rent every month on time. I've been evicted twice. I've gotten a lockout on my door with a 3-day notice to vacate, and it's because they lost my check and stuff like that. And then I have to prove to them it was paid. And then you end up wasting an hour up there, and they don't even apologize. They're like, oh, you're all set now. And it's like, no, I want something in writing that I'm all set. And I don't drop my rent check in the drop. I make one of them take my rent check and write me a receipt. And right. I stand there like all huffy or whatever. And, you know, like I'm putting them out. And that's when if I get too much of that vibe, that's when I'm like, well, I wouldn't be making you do this had you not illegally evicted me twice. And they're like, what do you mean illegal? And I mean, well, Texas state law says 3-day notices to vacate are illegal. You have to give 30, and that's after you've been late like 30 days. And they're like, oh, well, when we give those, that's just basically a notice for you to contact us. We don't actually mean we're going to kick you out. And it's like, well, the thing says 3-day notice to vacate. So what you mean and what it actually says are two different things. So I was thinking about all that stuff today as I was walking to the store. In the last apartment, I left in February, but the lease was up in March, and they all stayed. There was 4 people in that house other than me. Mm-hmm. They all stayed, so I didn't get any sort of security deposit back or anything because I'd stopped talking to all of them by then. But I assume since they stayed till the end of the lease that was, at the very least, rent was paid, so there's 6 months of solid rental history there. I don't know if the security deposit came back or not, which was like a grand. But as far as I know, that is at least as far as the rental property is concerned, I believe that rental agreement ended well. Mm-hmm. So technically, I could have a year and a half. Worst case scenario, I have this past year, which is still not bad. Because when I moved here, I was quite worried about when they did a credit check and all that stuff. Because I always live in communities and they actually do that stuff. And I was quite worried about the White House coming back and biting me in the ass or whatever, but they let us all in and everything was cool, and then I had no problems, no issues getting in here either. And I actually don't plan on moving. I probably will sign another 12-month lease, so by the time I'm out of here, I should have 2 years straight of clean rental history, if not 2.5, because 2009 is the year I'm actually going to move in and unpack some boxes. I was thinking about that today, like they'll be in to do all my new lease signing stuff and looking around at all these packed boxes and know I've been here at least 6 months or, you know, actually a year. What I'll tell them.
They'll be like, you know, you have to put down notes if anybody else is living here. No, nobody. Just me.
It's literally in a year I've unpacked my TV, my computer, my bed, my couch, and that's about it. But I've been lucky. All my AC works well, you know, my heat works well, my dishwasher works, my washer and dryer works.
Well, you know, I think it's been long enough that it's about time that you you get involved in roommates with a female again.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's exactly what you need right now.
Yeah, now that I'm more sane and I bought 500 more St. John's works.
Yes. Well, now that, you know, everything
like
is cleared up
and
you don't have anything crazy going on.
I have crazy phone calls. You heard Avery.
Yeah,
it's
like the crazy world is happening around you now, not in your home
anymore.
Which
is why I don't leave my house.
Yeah.
Ambush Radio.